Morning, brothers and sisters. It's a very cold morning, but hope that you're all warm inside, because we come before the Lord, we can worship Him, and we can listen to His Word and gain something from it. So I have been sharing the parables of the Lord Jesus with you, and I have gone through the eight parables in Matthew 13 concerning the parables of the kingdom of heaven. Today we will continue looking at the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew 18. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we can come before You and be able to worship You. We pray that, Lord, You will guide us this morning as we share from Your Word. May You, Lord, make use of this time, and that You will have eternal value in what we do. We pray in Your precious name. Amen. As long has shared us now that the Lord is our shepherd and we are His sheep, which is a theme, that recurring theme that keep on appearing in the Bible. Now we see that in Ezekiel, we see that in Isaiah, we see that in the Gospel, especially the Gospel of John. But the most famous passage is probably Psalm 23, isn't it? Where it tells the story of God is our shepherd, and that He leads us to green pastures beside the still waters. Still waters, because sheep do not like running waters. And He brings us comfort. He comforts us. He protects us with His rod and His staff. And even if we are faced with death, we shall not be afraid, because He is with us. So that is a very much repeated pictures in the Scripture that tells us our relationship with the Lord. He is the shepherd, we are the sheep. And the Lord Jesus even say in John chapter 10 that He is the good shepherd, and He is the good shepherd that will lay down His life for His sheep. And certainly He did. He did that on the cross. One of the issues that I face when I share this very familiar parable is that some of you may turn off and say, oh, I heard that before, so I'm just going to go for a nap, and you wake me up when you finish, all right? Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully we'll be able to see something from this familiar parable and still be able to learn from it, especially how we should respond to it. Now, prior to Jesus telling this parable, we know that the disciples had a bit of an argument. They were very much sort of anxious about their pecking orders in the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus, when the Messiah, Jesus, come into His full power, where they will be in that kingdom, whether they will be on the right hand or be on the left hand. Would they be one of the leaders? So they were very anxious, and they had a bit of an argument with one another and could not find a solution, because none of them can find a solution that satisfied their own pride or their own their own importance. So they came to the Lord Jesus and asked Jesus, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So what did the Lord Jesus say? What did He do? He brought a child, a young child, and placed them in the middle of the disciples. Then He said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdoms of heaven. Now listen to the word of the Lord Jesus. He did not just say that you will be great if unless you become a little children, you will be great in the kingdom of heaven. He said, by no means you will enter the kingdom of heaven. So that is quite a serious consequence. See, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. So why did the Lord Jesus do that? Why did he place a child in the midst of the disciples and told them these words? The child is like a metaphor. The child is simple. The child is humble. The child cannot provide for themselves. They need to rely on others. The child is willing to learn. The child is also willing to be corrected. That is the attitude that the Lord Jesus wanted the disciples to have. If they want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, they need to be like that little child. They need to be willing to be humble, to be willing to be corrected, to be willing to learn, and to be willing fully trusting the Father for his provisions. And Jesus said, if you become like that, not just physically like a little child, but in your mental attitude, in your whole outlook, that you have to be like that child. Simple, humble, willing to learn, and trusting God for provisions. And then Jesus went on to warn them of the very serious consequences if they cause any one of these little ones in the kingdom of God to be stumbled. So Jesus warned them about that. Then he proceeded to tell them the parable of the lost sheep. So that set the scenes of the parable. The disciples arguing with one another about who is the greatest. The Lord Jesus gave them an object lesson in that child. And then the Lord went on to tell the parable. Now we know that the Lord Jesus also told something similar in Luke chapter 15. But that has a very different context to the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew chapter 18. In Luke chapter 15, the context is different because the audience that the Lord Jesus told the parables to are different. So who are the people that the Lord Jesus told this parable to in Luke chapter 15? We knew that it was the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees were very unhappy with the Lord Jesus because they saw a lot of sinners and tax collectors crowding around him, listening to him. They didn't like that because they despise the tax collectors. They despise the sinners. They despise the prostitutes, the publicans, and so forth. And to associate with them, to them, meaning that you have degraded yourself to associate with these people. So the Lord Jesus told three parables to them about lost and found. The parables of the lost sheep, the parables of the lost coin, and the parables of the lost son. Jesus wanted to show them that the Heavenly Father loves and cares for these sinful ones who are lost in their sins. And then in those three parables, the Lord Jesus highlighted the joy that was in heaven when any one of these sinful sinners can repent and come back to the Father. So that was the context where the Lord Jesus shared the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. But in Matthew chapter 18, when the Lord Jesus told this parable of the parables of the lost sheep in 18, he was telling it to the disciples who just had that argument about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So that context, the difference of context is important. In Luke 15, he told that to the scribes and the Pharisees. In Matthew 18, he told this to the disciples. Now let's look at that parable in Matthew 18. We'll be reading from chapter 18 of Matthew, verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, who is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. So as I mentioned just now, that context is very important. So we're going to look at this parable as told by Jesus to his disciples. We look at how the disciples will fit in that parable, how they should respond, and then we look at ourselves, how we should respond to it. Now we start with in Matthew 18, verse 10, and we're going to go through them verse by verse. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now, Jesus told the disciples that these little ones are precious in God's sight. So precious that God gave them angels to watch over them. And this angel will always see the face of my Father, meaning that the angel will bring reports back to God about all these people that they are watching over. How does the angel watch over us? We do not really know. What do they do? We do not really know. But we knew that God sent them to help us, to guide us. We can also look at Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 that says nearly the same thing. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. So are we those who are inheriting salvation? Then the angels will be sent by God to minister to us. So we can see that we are loved by God. Every little one of us will be loved by God. So if we are important to God, if all those little ones in the kingdom of God are important to God, then they should be important to us who want to serve God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. In some of your Bible, you may have this verse in brackets, or this verse was actually omitted and only appearing in the footnote. Because in some of the earlier manuscripts, this verse was not there. This verse was actually taken from Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And that exact same words was applying to Zacchaeus when Jesus saying that salvation is coming to him and his household. And Zacchaeus was receiving the Lord Jesus into his house. So these verses appear there. I'm not sure why, but could be a little summary that some of the copywriter in New Testament who added this verse from Luke 19 to Matthew 18. We do not really know. But some of the earlier manuscripts do not have this verse. But it is a nice to have, like a little summary of the verses before that. Then we go to the main part of the parable, chapter 18, verse 12 to 13. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Jesus asked the disciple, what do you think? So immediately he is inviting the disciples to see themselves in this parable, that this parable has them in it. What do you think? What do you think? In Luke chapter 15, the parable was shared to the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus wants to impress upon them that God loves the sinners and wants the sinners to repent. But here he is speaking the parables to the disciples, those who have already believed in him. Jesus wants them to see themselves in this parable and see what their roles will be. The Lord is a shepherd, is a good shepherd, and he will lay down his life for his sheep. Maybe the Lord wants them to think about themselves as shepherds too, who would care and protect and tend and nurse the sheep that God has committed to them. Here he says that if a man has 100 sheep. Now if this man has 100 sheep, then he is a rich man, because that's a lot, that's quite a few animals. And I believe that probably this man who has 100 sheep, he's probably sharing the flock, or the responsibility of looking after the flock with a few other shepherds. Or it could be a few owners sharing the use of the shepherds, the hiring of the shepherds to look after this many animals. So we do not know. But certainly the shepherd will not just leave the 99 in the open field or in danger in order to go and look for that stray one. He could have committed the care of the other 99 to other shepherds, or they may have been left in the pen, in the sheepfold that is safe for the 99 to be kept. Then that shepherd will go on and look for that straying sheep. The one sheep that has gone astray. Jesus mentioned one that sort of put a lot of emphasis on that one. He means that even if it's only one that has gone astray, the shepherd will leave the 99 and go and look for it. Why would that sheep stray from the rest of the flock? It could be that he was so engrossed in eating that he didn't look up. By the time he looked up, everyone is gone. Possible. Perhaps he looked at the other fields a bit further away, which is greener. Maybe he said, oh, if I go there, I can get a better feed. And he's slowly drifting away, straying away from the rest of the flock. Or maybe that sheep that strayed away got some problem. About 30 years ago, I had only one experience face-to-face with the shepherd. That's the only story that I can tell. Unlike Jesse and Anna here, who had a lot more experience in looking after animals. So 30 years ago, I remember clearly Billing was very heavily pregnant. She was sitting in the truck of that shepherd. The shepherd did not have a rod and staff. He has a pickup truck and he has a dog. And that's how he shepherded the flock. And as we were following him, we were at the back of the truck. Billing was sitting in front with the shepherd. And the dog was running around, sort of hurrying the sheep along. And then from afar, he saw a sheep that was not with the main flock of animals. The sheep was far away by itself on the hill. He saw it. He just left all of us and he went after it. And by the time he took the sheep back, he told us that the sheep is very sick. And sure enough, the back of the sheep has lots of worms. So he threw that sheep on the truck, together with all of us standing at the back of the truck. Then he said, I got to take that back to my house and to nurse it until it's fully recovered. Then I will bring it back so that the sheep will come back to the flock. So that is one experience that tells us one possibility for the sheep to be straying is that it is sick. Now, when I say that the disciples were the audience of this parable, I want you to know also that Jesus is telling them about the lost sheep being Christians or believers who have been strayed away from the Lord. Not just sinners who have strayed and lost. So, if the sheep has various different reasons why they are straying away, how about believers? How would believers be straying away from the Lord? We find there are many reasons why someone who is following the Lord, who claims to be a believer, will slowly straying away from God. One of the first reasons I can think of is that they are ensnared by sins and by temptations. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 tells us that we have to lay aside every weight and the sins that so easily ensnare us or entangle us. You can think of this as a picture like a net that we have many hooks that keep on clinging on to you. That's your sins, your temptations that you find very hard to reject. So the Bible writer used the word ensnares or entangles, something that is very hard to shake off. If you keep yielding to that temptation, keep yielding to that sins, then there is going to be a guilty conscience between you and God all the time. And you find that you yourself cannot really have a good fellowship with God. And slowly, you will stray away from the Lord. Yesterday I had a conversation with a believer and she told me that one of the loved ones that in her life is drifting away from God because he finds that his relationship with God is not real. He does not have that desire to follow the Lord and slowly he drifts away. And that is also one of the reasons that why believers stray away from God is that love towards the Lord has gone cold. Jesus warned us that in the last days, lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. Jesus rebuked the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation that they have left their first love. Our love towards the Lord grow cold because we have been attracted by other things that's in the world. The love, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life that took our attention away from the Lord, and therefore our love for Him grow cold. Some Christians may have been stumbled by others, and they stray away from the Lord. Jesus warned the disciples not to be like that, not to stumble others. But there are many people who claim to be believers, and yet they only are professor of their faith. They are not really the possessor of the life of Christ in them. So So what they claim they themselves to be may not be true. And many a times they will do things that will stumble others. So some Christians may be stray away from the Lord because they have been stumbled by these people. Some Christians may also have doubts and disappointment that keep on occurring in their life. And if they do not deal with it with the help of the Lord, then slowly they become doubtful about the Lord and they will also stray away. Some believers may be affected by false teachings, by doctrines, and they will, because of those wrong teaching that they have received, that they may be strayed away as well. A few years ago, there was a lady who came into our church, and she was she looked very proper and very quickly involved herself with the youth group, with the prayer meetings, and with the various different ministry groups that was held in the church. And she was very impressive in her prayers, and people think that, oh, this is someone who is seriously following God. But one day, her true self was exposed. She was talking to a few people who really admire her and said to them, "Now I have this book. I want you to read them, but please don't tell anyone about it." And straight away, those few sisters, even though they're young, when they heard this, they feel uncomfortable. And they took the books and showed it to the responsible brothers. And straight away we knew who they are, who this person was. She was actually someone who is a cult, who wanting to influence the other believers to follow what she believes in. And once she was exposed, she stopped coming. But other people who are may not be so strong or suspicious of her motive may be affected by her. So we have to be very, very careful. So there are many reasons why Christians may be straying away from the Lord. And we need to see what the Lord wants us to do. That's why the Lord Jesus asked the disciples, say, "What do you say? What do you say?" In fact, he's probably asking the disciples, say, "What will you do? What will you do?" You know, like a phrase called "the ball is in your court." It's like in a tennis match, when you hit the ball falls onto the other person, your opponent's court. Now it's for them to return the ball. So the Lord Jesus basically hit the ball to the disciples, say, "What would you do? What do you think?" Why would the Lord Jesus want to do that? Because there is a history of people of God that has been neglected by those who should be helping them, who should be shepherding them. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 6, God said that "my sheep wander through all the mountains and on every high hills. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them." God said this with a grieving heart. He saw all his people were scattered all over the place. And the people who were supposed to look after them and shepherding them, the leaders, the religious leaders of Israel, they have neglected their responsibility. So his sheep were scattered because there's no shepherd. So let's listen to what the Lord God saying in verse 11 to verse 16 in Ezekiel 34. He was saying this: "Because these shepherds have neglected their responsibility, I will be the shepherd." He said, "I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out and deliver them from all the places where they will scatter on a cloudy and dark day. He will do it. He will bring them up from the people, out of the people, and gather them from the countries, and he will bring them to their own land. We saw how God did that to Israel, and we see how God did that to the church, to the people of God. He bring them out of the world, and he gathered them together. He wants to tend them as a flock. Then he said, I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. So there's provision, there's protection that God is offering to the people who want to come under him. I will make them to lie down. The sheep will only lie down when they feel safe, they feel protected. Then he said, I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. Just like the story of the shepherd that I told us now. God will do that to his sick sheep or animals. I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. It's the same God who protects. It's the same God who will also judge those who are strong but did not listen to him. Those who are strong but bullying other weaker ones. Those who are strong but stumble others, God will judge them. Let's go back to Matthew 18. In verse 14, the last verse of that parable. Even so, it is not the will of a Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. We praise God because he's a God of love. He's the one who will make sure all the stray ones, when they are brought back to him, he will keep them safe. Every single one of them. John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29, the Lord Jesus himself said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. That is the guarantee of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus, to his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand, and no one can snatch them out of his Father's hands. The only question you have to answer is that, am I in his hands? Am I one of his sheep? If you are, then your salvation, your security is confirmed. So when Jesus asked the disciple, what do you think? He basically also asked him, what will you do? Will you join with the other disciples and be shepherds to the lost and to the stray ones from God? But you might say that, well, I'm not really qualified because I'm not an elder, I'm not a Bible study leader, I'm not the youth leaders. I myself need shepherding. I can't really do it. But do you know that to be a shepherd under God's guidance is not a matter of whether you think you can or not? One of the disciples of the Lord Jesus, Peter, certainly think that he can be one. Because he was very confident in his determination to follow the Lord Jesus, no matter what. He said to the Lord Jesus, "Say, even if all are made to stumble, even all these 11 others are stumbled, I will not be stumbled. I will never be made to stumble." But Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you that this night before the cock crow, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Peter was very confident to follow the Lord Jesus. But we knew the story. We knew what happened. And within a very short time frame, Peter did deny the Lord Jesus 3 times. The last time he denied the Lord Jesus, he even cursed, he even swear. That's when he heard the cock crow, and the Lord Jesus turned and looked at him. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. We can sense Peter was very disappointed of his failures. He was so confident that he can follow the Lord Jesus. He can be one of those shepherds. He can be anything that the Lord wanted him to be. But he failed. Even after he knew that the Lord Jesus has resurrected from the dead after his crucifixion and his burial, still there was that sense of disappointment in him about himself. So one night he said to the others, he said, "I'm going fishing." He's almost saying that I'm going back to do what I think I'm at least know what I'm doing. I'm going back to do what I am confident in. So that night he fished the whole night, but he caught nothing. That's when Jesus interrupted. The Lord Jesus not only helped him to catch about 153 fish, the Lord Jesus also cooked breakfast for him and the others. The Lord Jesus did all this because he needed to have a moment with Peter. So when they had finished eating breakfast, Jesus asked Peter. Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this?" More than this. The fire, the fish, the breakfast, the comfort. And Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, then Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So brothers and sisters, looks like the qualification to be a shepherd is not whether you think you can or you qualify or not. The only qualification for you to be a shepherd is that you love the Lord Jesus. You'll be able to say to the Lord, "Yes, I love you," when he asks you, "Do you love me?" You see, Peter never forgotten that exchange he had with the Lord Jesus. Because he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 4, he said he was encouraging the church elders to shepherd the flock of God which is among you, he said, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lord over those who entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. That was Peter. An old Peter who remembered that morning where he had that conversation with the Lord Jesus. And he knew that he needs to continue to love the Lord. Then he will be able to shepherd the flock of God. And then when the Lord Jesus, the chief shepherds, appear, he will have his reward then. So brothers and sisters, we can call this parable of the lost sheep the parable of the shepherd. because it was as much about the shepherd than it is about the lost one. The Lord Jesus said to the disciple, "What do you think?" He's basically saying to them, "What will you do when you see one of the children of God stray away from Him?" And as long as you know that you love the Lord Jesus, as long as you know that you sincerely love the Lord and you want to follow Him, then you will see opportunity of shepherding. Someone will be open to you. Someone will be hurt. Someone will be disappointed with God. Someone was being led astray by the false teachings. Someone who has been so troubled by their sins and temptations. And God will show you who they are. And then God will give you opportunity to go and help them, to bring them back, to care for them, to shepherd them. Let's pray. Lord, may you ask us that same questions you asked Peter. May we also be able to answer like he did. Even though we know that our love for you is imperfect, but we know that we do love you. Even though the love you demand from us is agape, but we can say to you, even if we can't do that, at least we are your friend. Help us, Lord Jesus, for there is so much temptations around us, and so hard, sometimes we struggling with our own sins that cling on to us and frustrate us to have a clear conscience before you. But Lord, we say to you, you are our good shepherd. We are willing, Lord, to come under your guidance and your protections. Help us. Make us also shepherds to others who have more needs than us. May your name, Lord, be glorified in our life. We pray in your most precious name. Amen.